The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I tell you, that Maduro, he's in there with some very prominent people at that correctional facility, detention center in New York City. Some very prominent people. So the likes of which include P. Diddy and others. But he says he's still president of his country. I don't think the judge is going to see it that way. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. Welcome back after a very long, long break. Hope you and your family had a great Christmas, great New Year's, all that fun stuff. And we're right back at it. And we were thinking maybe a slow Monday after we were all away for 2 weeks, but nope, right back in it, and here we are. And so, yeah, we'll talk about Maduro, and obviously the Midwestern doofus, Tim Walz, resigning today. He's out. He's done. Oh, I got to put, yeah, he's done. He's gone. And we told you this. I mean, we predicted this. We said that on the show. We said that Walz was over, his political career was over, and that was it. There was no coming back from this. He's done. I did like, though, in his resignation speech today, when he's like, but if Donald Trump does anything I don't like, I'll come back. It's like, ooh, don't scare us. He's resigning in disgrace as this Minnesota fraud scandal, now well over $1 billion. Estimates are it could be as high as $9 billion. The fun has only just begun. And we don't know how high this gets. But the one thing we do know is this. We do know that it's bad enough that he can't survive it politically, meaning that there's more to come. There's more that's going to come out, because if this was just it, you know, you fight, you weather the storm, maybe, but revelation after revelation after revelation, more's on the way. And that's what I think is the obvious takeaway from the Midwestern doofus. And I still can't figure out why this guy was ever on the ticket. It remains to me one of the greatest political mysteries of our lifetime. Why they picked him to be Kamala Harris's running mate, I can't figure it out. He brought nothing to the ticket. He was a drag on the ticket. He was supposed to be out there about masculinity, and the guy became a joke, became a meme. He is the very definition of a political loser. Brought nothing to the table, and it was a disaster from start to finish. So he's done. And then, of course, over the weekend, you might have heard the president ordered the military to go in and arrest Maduro and bring him to the United States to face a litany of charges. They are classifying this as a law enforcement operation. The military helped conduct that law enforcement operation, but it is a law enforcement operation and not a military operation. That is an important distinction, obviously, because the president did not ask Congress for authorization, and he's saying this is not a war. We're going to be there for some time in a managerial capacity until basically the oil companies can run the show over there. My only question is, how soon can we start booking trips to Caracas? Because I hear it's lovely this time of year, quite frankly, the weather. And I hate this winter. I'm freezing cold. I think you are, too. And 5 minutes before I came on the air today, I was just walking Gary. You might have seen on social media, Gary, our new dog, the buddy, the man himself. Great dog. He's doing great. He's fantastic. Posted a lot of pictures of him on social media over the last couple weeks. We got him a couple days before Christmas. We surprised the kids. Drove down to where we were picking Gary up, and we're about a mile from the place, and we handed the kids Christmas presents that were wrapped. They unwrapped them, and they were dog toys, and then we said, we're getting a dog. Went in, met Gary, brought him home. He's been just an absolute joy to be with ever since. He is gnawing at my kitchen table, though. It's a wood table, and it looks like I have a woodchuck or a beaver. That's how much he's eating it. So he's teething everywhere, obviously, and we've given him chew toys, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But I'll give you more updates on Gary throughout the show. Also, there's a rumor I'm making an announcement today, and I am, at 5 o'clock, in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Professor John Yu joining us. I think we'll talk to him first, and then I'll tell you about some what the announcement's going to be at that point today. But it's great to be back with you, and I did miss being on the air very, very much. I wasn't fully off, though, because I filled in for Jimmy Fallon a couple times, filled in for Dana Loesch a couple times. And then Friday night, I got to go up to New York, and I was on with Brian Kilmeade for Laura Ingraham's show. solo segment, full segment for like 5 minutes. We talked about stuff that by the next morning, nobody cared about anymore because we went into Venezuela and arrested Maduro. So that was great because you sit down, you talk about all this great political stuff. Grabian, which is a news aggregator, picked up like four clips from that and posted them online. And then the next morning, I woke up, had a hot date with my daughter, Reagan, went to the aquarium, got her ears pierced. But nobody cared about anything I had to say the night before because it was all about Maduro and Venezuela. So that's how Trump rolls, though. He just rolls. He just steamrolls, and that's how it goes. Maduro appeared in court today. He's not going to get bail. There's no chance he's going to get bail. 0.0 chance he's going to get bail. And obviously, this follows the precedent that was set when we captured Noriega. So there's that. There's that precedent that we created here back in 1989. We grabbed him. We arrested him. He wound up moving to a bunch of different places till ultimately he died. But there's precedent for this. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, what can you say? I think it was probably not the wisest move of Maduro to say, come get me, to Trump. Come get me, which is what he said. He said, come get me, you coward. And then Trump was like, hold my, he doesn't drink beer, so hold my Diet Coke. And then went in there and grabbed Maduro. Maduro probably shouldn't have said, come get me. And Trump's not the kind of guy that if you play games like that and you call him out, you question his manhood or his masculinity or his he's not the kind of guy that's going to turn around and go, oh, all right, well, then I won't come get you. He's the kind of guy that's going to literally come get you, which is what he did here. He came and got him. So that is that's all playing out right now. The future of Venezuela, I'm sure there'll be a lot to discuss about that. We'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about that later in the show today. I'm sure there's not a huge appetite for the United States of America to be in a protracted military conflict. I don't see us being in one. I think this was kind of a scoop in, grab the guy, get out. Now it's only a matter of if the interim leadership wants to work with the United States or not. I'm thinking that if I'm her, if I'm the vice president, who's now the president, I'm thinking I want to, because if not, they're probably going to come for me in the middle of the night. And clearly the military is either A, incapable of standing up and protecting the president of their country, or B, doesn't want to because there was a CIA whistleblower who was embedded with them. And you just got to wonder how much of the military just kind of said, see you, pal. You know what I mean? I don't think they wanted to put up a big fight with the American military when they came in to get Maduro. And I don't get a sense they'd put up a big fight if President Trump decided he was going to go grab the new leader of Venezuela. I don't get a sense they're itching for a battle here. So probably the best strategy would be to see how they can work with the United States of America and not, you know, not throw out the threat of come get me, bro. Because the come get me, bro, might be good for a YouTube meme. It might be good for social media. It doesn't work, though, in the end with Donald Trump. He's going to come get you. That's the bottom line. And he did. And now, of course, the question becomes, who's next? Is there going to be a next? Is the next going to be Colombia? Is it going to be Cuba? Is it going to be Mexico? Or are all these other countries going to turn around and say, I don't want this to happen to me, so we're just going to help and cooperate, and this new Trump-Monroe doctrine, this Trump doctrine of this is our hemisphere, and we're gonna make sure that this hemisphere is safe, for better or for worse, ain't going anywhere. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be like that. Very obvious that Cuba needs Venezuelan oil. Again, something we'll talk about later with Dr. Victoria Coates. Was relying on that cheap Venezuelan oil. That's going to be cut off now, most likely. So maybe Cuba's the next to fall. Maybe Cuba's the next to have regime change. And obviously, the center of all this is Iran. And what are the implications for Iran? And what are the implications for China? And the global implications of all this as well. But in the short term, in the meantime, countries in the Western Hemisphere who now realize that Donald Trump views this as his hemisphere. As president of the United States, he says, I'm going to take a page out of James Monroe. I'm going to say this is my doctrine here. And we're not going to allow countries to traffic in drugs and send us our their worst and their criminals and their drug addicts, and we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to play this game. So if you don't get in line and you don't cooperate, we'll just come after you, and then we'll charge you criminally. And then we're not going to say it's a military invasion. We're not going to say it's a war. We're not going to stay there. We're just going to come get you and then make you face authorities in court in the United States of America. As I mentioned, there's precedent for that. So it's just like when they got Noriega. It's the same exact thing. They found him guilty in court in the United States of America. So if this judge in New York, this 92-year-old judge who's apparently not a big Trump fan, needs that legal precedent, well, there you go. There's your legal precedent right there. And that's how that's going to play out. So I want to play an audio for you. This is the part that some people are wondering about. What does this mean in terms of where the United States of America goes from here? This is cut number four. The president saying basically we're going to run Venezuela in the meantime. Time until a proper transition can take place. How long will that last? What does that look like? And you've heard many people say now, we don't want another Iraq. And the White House and Marco Rubio and everybody's pushed back and said, it's not going to be. It's not going to be that. It doesn't have to be that. It's a totally different scenario than it was with Iraq. Obviously, that is the big part of this that people are wondering about. What does the United States running Venezuela, even in the interim, look like? What does that process involve? And then does that mean we put in our people to run the country? All of these various different things. So here's President Trump on that point, cut number four.
Those drugs mostly come from a place called Venezuela. We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. So we don't want to be involved with having somebody else get in, and we have the same situation that we had for the last long period of years. So we are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. And it has to be judicious, because that's what we're all about. We want peace, liberty, and justice for the great people of Venezuela. And that includes many from Venezuela that are now living in the United States and want to go back to their country. It's their homeland. We can't take a chance that somebody else takes over Venezuela that doesn't have the good of the Venezuelan people in mind. We've had decades of that. We're not going to let that happen. We're there now, and what people don't understand, but they understand.
The other question that I think many of us are wondering then is, will there be another country that is next on the list here? A couple things that first of all, the military in this operation was flawless. Unbelievable, too, that they were able to go in and grab this guy. It's unbelievable. You got to wonder, too. You really have to wonder whether or not the Venezuelan military was just completely, which would absolutely destroy them. And I think there's a lesson there in terms of taking care of your people. Because my guess is Maduro probably didn't take great care of his people. And I don't think there's a lot of tears being shed for him back home. I don't think there's a lot of tears in Venezuela being shed. You've seen the pictures of people celebrating in America who are Venezuelan. I get a sense that back home in Venezuela, I don't think there's a lot of people crying over this guy being gone. I mean, he lost the election. He stayed in power. He refused to leave. And they didn't want him. And he said, I'm not going anywhere, which is what dictators do. Now, I'm not for regime change. I'm not for American intervention. As you know, I'm not for these things. This is not high on my priority list. There was an arrest warrant out for the guy, though. There was a bounty that was put on his head by the previous administration, by the Biden administration. If you were to count him, you could have made yourself a couple nice $1 million, a couple like tens of millions of dollars, actually, for that. $25 million, yes, reward for the capture of Maduro. But this administration decided it wasn't going to wait for somebody to capture him and then have to pay the $25 million. They said, we're just going to go get him. We're just going to go get him ourselves. And I don't really get a sense that he'll be missed within his own home country of Venezuela. I did notice his carpool karaoke video the other day. You probably saw this where he was in the car driving. He had a seatbelt on. He was buckled up. And he was saying, we'll make a deal. We'll try to make a deal. We'll make a deal with the president. We'll make a deal with the administration. Whatever. And actually, Friday, when I was up in New York and I was talking to Brian Kilmeade about that off air, and Kilmeade said, you know, if he doesn't go, it's not going to look like a win for the Trump administration. Well, he went, and now he's going to face a trial in the United States of America in federal court, pleading guilty, of course, pleading not guilty to all the charges, saying he's a good man and he's still the leader of his country. Now, if you believe that, then, you know. But in terms of this idea that he's got some sort of immunity or something like that, that's not going to work, because the United States has asserted he's an illegitimate leader. He's not the properly elected president of his country. Therefore, he does not get the international immunity that another leader of a country would get. He's there because he's staying in power, not because he deserves to be, not because the people want him to be. So he's actually not the duly elected leader of Venezuela, which then is part of the reason why it's not going to be as easy to do that to, say, the president of Mexico or the president of Colombia or another country like that. However, that doesn't mean that they're not going to think that Trump could definitely decide to do that and then maybe try to straighten up their act a little bit, which is what I would do if I were them. If I were them right now, if I'm in a position where I'm a dictator, I'm running a country, I'm thinking I want to use this as a teachable moment and maybe change my ways and maybe work with the United States of America, because I don't think Trump cares in the least whether or not, if they came and got me in the middle of the night, whether or not a judge would see that I have immunity. I don't think Trump would care about that. Again, this would be what's going through my mind if I'm one of them. If I'm one of these dictators, if I'm one of these scumbags, I'm thinking, I don't think he cares. I think the only question is, can they get me? And probably, yeah, because the military probably hates me, too. My military hates me, and my military is probably not going to fight the United States military. And if they do, then the United States military is going to probably send in more people to fight my military, and my military hates me as it is. So there's that. So I'm going to use this as a teachable moment. I'm going to say, this is a lesson here. Maybe I don't fight the United States of America. Maybe I cooperate with them. Again, that's me putting on my dictator hat. That's not necessarily what they might choose to do. Will there be others? I don't know. General Raisin Kane broke down the details of the operation and kind of hinted that they may be tasked to do this again. Cut number 8.
Last night, on the order of the President of the United States and in support of a request from the Department of Justice, as the President said, the United States military conducted an apprehension mission in Caracas, Venezuela, to bring to justice two indicted persons, Nicolas and Cecilia Maduro. This operation, known as Operation Absolute Resolve, was discreet, precise, and conducted during the darkest hours of January 2nd, and was the culmination of months of planning and rehearsal, an operation that, frankly, only the United States military could undertake. What I'd like to do this morning is talk to you through some of the preparation and the details without compromising any of our tactics, techniques, and procedures. There is always a chance that we'll be tasked to do this type of mission again.
There's always a chance we could be tasked to do this kind of mission again. So that's the message to the other dictators and the other bad people in the region. Like, this, you may want to clean up your act. Just saying. I'm going to throw it out there. Suggest maybe you want to clean up your act. Maybe try a new strategy here. Because the strategy of yelling, come get me, bro, is not, and I don't think he said bro at the end. I think he said coward. I think he called him a coward, which is even worse. I would not advise that. Again, if I were asked to maybe coach dictators, if they called me up and they were like, what would you suggest? I'd say, well, for starters, I'd say, don't yell, come get me, coward. That's the first thing. Wouldn't do that. Try something else. Try a different tactic. That would be my first suggestion. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Two locations to serve you, St. Vincent and Woodbury. Go see Dr. Mike for your perfect smile, VeneriaDental.com. I saw him on New Year's Eve, got my teeth cleaned, my teeth checked out, had a great chat with Dr. Mike, and I have a beautiful smile to start 2026. I'm very happy that Tim Walz is done. Very happy because we predicted that. We knew that he'd be done, and he's done. So good riddance to the Midwestern doofus, but we'll talk more about that, the political ramifications of all that. But next up, what does it mean now that Maduro is in court? How does this process play out? We'll talk to our buddy David Gelman, former prosecutor and defense attorney, about that. Just the legal ramifications of all this, as there'll be a lot of different things to analyze throughout the show today. We'll talk to John Yu, constitutional lawyer, of course, extraordinaire. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll find out about the constitutionality of all this from him. And of course, our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, what this means for the Western Hemisphere, what this means for Iran, for China, and just the world writ large. So a great big show for you today. We're just getting started. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yes, they are back in town. Justin and Matt are back. I'm back. You're back. That's what counts. And Maduro's back in court. Well, he will be back in court again after his initial appearance today. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeal. We've got great guests lined up all afternoon for you analyzing this situation. But let's start with our buddy David Gelman, former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney, Gelman Law. And he was quoted today in an article on FoxNews.com about this and the chances of Maduro getting bail. Gelman, how are you, man? Good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rich.
So what do you think? Does Maduro have a shot at getting bail?
Well, as you read my quote, I have a better chance of being the next Powerball winner than Maduro ever getting bail. No, actually, today they didn't even ask for bail, which probably was a good idea. Because if you think about it, I don't even think Maduro has money right now. Now, granted, look, he's incredibly wealthy from all of his illegal activities, but everything is frozen. So, you know, they took him literally in his pajamas. So I don't even think he has money for bail. I don't think, and I think it was a public defender today who was representing him. I really don't think he has a private attorney yet.
Wow. I mean, for the public defender, is this a good move to defend this guy? Is this the kind of thing that you would recommend to your fellow colleagues? Like, hey, is there a chance to be a star or what?
Yeah, why not? Well, number one, look, as an attorney, you take an oath and you have to defend the defenseless and you have to defend individuals who, you know, even though you may not agree with what they did or allegedly, I should say, but right, everybody deserves a defense. And public defenders, look, they defend everybody, the worst of the worst. And that's their job and they do a good job doing it. But it's going to be an uphill battle for sure. And there will definitely be some notoriety whoever is representing him.
How do they keep him safe in jail? Because I'm sure it's not every day you have a deposed dictator in your detention center.
Yeah, that's probably a new one for them. I can assure you that there will not be any Jeffrey Epstein things happening.
No,
they are going to be keeping a very, very close eye on him. I would not be surprised if he had somebody in his cell, not another inmate, but I'm just talking about from the DEA or just the FBI or somebody watching him 24/7, making sure he doesn't do anything that could jeopardize his life or the life of anybody else.
And I would imagine they'd probably keep him away from Gen Pop, like nobody's going to be able to shiv him in the shower kind of a situation.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And also, remember, this was Diddy's home for a year and a half. So, you know, maybe Diddy left him some oil. I don't know.
God. It's a terrible thought. David Gelman, what about the idea now that obviously he's claiming he's the president of his country and therefore he has immunity, which is basically what his defense is going to be?
Yeah, that's a whole defense. And honestly, it's not a terrible defense. However, the court system in general has really given deference to the judicial, to the executive branch when it comes to foreign policy, for the most part. So when, you know, when the government is saying, look, he is not the president of Venezuela. He was an illegitimate president. The election was rigged. He is a dictator. He's a rogue dictator. I think that's what the court is going to eventually decide. And then there will not be an immunity defense. But you're going to have to go down that road because, frankly, there is no other defense that he can really go with right now.
I mean, this is going to be a long process, I would imagine, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is going I'll tell you what, number one, it's going to be as long as the defense wants it to be. And there's no hurry up. Obviously, he doesn't want to be in custody, and he'll probably be in custody for the rest of his life. But the defense, it's their opportunity. It's them who has to decide when this is going to really go forward and proceed, because they have a speedy trial right, which means that if you are incarcerated, you have a right to go to trial in a fashion that's somewhat prevalently speedy. And, you know, speedy is a very gray area when it comes to the law. So I could see this happening probably in a couple years. I mean, it's not going to happen
that long. Wow.
Next month. Yeah. A couple years, Rich.
That's a shame, because we were hoping this would dominate the news cycle for quite a while. But people's attention spans, they met by next week, like Maduro, who, you know? If you had to make a prediction, then who's the next socialist dictator President Trump goes after? Is it Colombia or is it Zoran Mamdani?
Wow. Well, you know, isn't it really interesting that the socialist dictator of Venezuela is being housed in the socialist city of New York City, run by the socialist
mayor? Well, they wanted to make the guy feel like he's home. You know, it was the least they could do. I mean, I think that was an act of generosity for them. I really do.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about it. Trump, he's a very hospitable individual. All right. His hotels are fantastic. So this is exactly what he's trying to do for Maduro, I guess.
And he's got Diddy's oil. Now, speaking of oil here, obviously there's a lot of questions around the motivation for this from the United States perspective, but the judge doesn't care about any of that, right? I mean, how he got there and how he arrived in his courtroom is not relevant. So whether or not the president needed to go to Congress or not, and people can debate that, whether or not the president needed authorization to send in the military, and people can debate that, from the judge's perspective, how Maduro winds up in his courtroom is not relevant, correct?
Bingo. Yep, it is irrelevant. Now, look, everybody's going to hem and haw, as they're, you know, we know they're going to. But the judge doesn't care about that, because that's not what is at stake right now. What he has in front of him is Maduro and his wife, mind you, and they're on different counts of conspiracy for drugs, conspiracy for narco-terrorism, and conspiracy of weapons. That's all that the judge cares about. He could care less about how he got there, where he got there from, anything else. That's all he cares about are the charges that are in front of him, and are they legal? That's it.
As far as the indictment goes, David Gelman, as a former prosecutor, and you look through the indictment, how do you think it stacks up?
I'll put it this way. The indictment makes the movie Goodfellas look like a Disney movie, honestly. I mean, this is impressive. The DEA, they did a really big job here. They dug in deep. And this goes back to 2001, I wanted to say, 2002, when Maduro, he was not even the president at the time. He was the interior minister or something like that. So they really have their ducks in a row. I mean, reading this, it was 20 something pages. I read it this morning, and it goes through step by step everything that he has done that we know about, and his associates. And his associates are, you know, his wife, his wife's nephews who are incarcerated. I think they got 17 or 18 years here, and other associates. And they're talking about different payoffs of what they were doing and how they were doing it. So, like, Maduro, he was heavily involved in this operation for years. I really thought that he was just going to be kind of an outside figure, like maybe a puppet master. He was literally involved. He was giving visas and passports to different drug traffickers so they can, you know, kind of skirt everything and make sure that they can get the drugs where they wanted to go. I mean, it was a very sophisticated system that they had.
And when you're thinking of this from the perspective of a defense attorney and a criminal defense attorney that you are now in your new life, David Gelman, and just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty.
I got to tell that to Maduro.
Right. And, you know, he should probably hire you. But what defense does the guy mount outside of the fact that I'm the leader of my country, which, of course, you know, is something that people would dispute, considering the fact that, to your point, the election was rigged and he stayed in power even though he lost. But what defense can he mount here?
Well, you know, it is going to be interesting because when this goes to trial, and I assume it's going to, because I don't see the government giving any type of a plea deal. But if it goes to trial, you're going to have witnesses. Now, the witnesses, that's going to be very interesting of how they're going to come. They're going to have to come from Venezuela, number one. But number one, are they going to be alive? Are they threatened already? And who are they going to be? And then defense counsel has to have the opportunity to also prep and to also make sure that they are able to interview these witnesses and make sure that they are able to cross-examine them. So that's going to be a very, I'd say, difficult task for the government in this situation because, you know, look, Maduro, he has a lot of allies in Venezuela, as we're well aware. And, you know, it hasn't been smooth sailing over the last 48 hours by any means. And the government there, they're not really cooperating yet, even though President Trump is telling them they better cooperate or they're going to be next. So it's going to be very curious to see who cooperates. Now, you're going to have undercover individuals, that's for sure. And they're going to get burnt, meaning they're going to get identified. But, Maduro is going to have, I think, a little defense, I'd say more of a defense than what people are thinking right now.
So one of the theories that I was wondering is, considering how easy they got this guy and the precision military execution by the Delta Force, I mean, just unbelievable, something out of a movie. Yeah. Is it possible that maybe this was kind of worked out? You know, we're going to come get you. You're going to get arrested. You're going to be brought. You plea. And then we ship this guy off and into exile somewhere. And that was kind of the deal. I mean, is there any merit to that theory that's out there because of A, how easily he was taken into captivity? But B, I mean, does the United States really want to incarcerate him for the rest of his life? Would it be better to just get rid of the guy? I mean, how does all that work?
You know, no, I don't think this was worked out at all. I don't think this was a movie or anything like that. Because, look, you know, this was a very dangerous mission. And the United States, the military, they put themselves in harm's way to get this guy. I think he had opportunities. President Trump told him multiple times, walk away, walk away. And if he did walk away, he may not be here right now. But I don't think but by him going on TV and dancing and saying, you know, no war, all peace, it's kind of mocking the president, mocking, you know, what was happening.
Well, he said, come get me. I mean,
yeah.
And we got him. I mean, it was like he needed an Uber ride and, you know, we picked him up.
It was a very expensive Uber ride.
So the least we could do. The guy said, come get me. I mean, we thought he was stranded. All right. Well, we'll see how this plays out. But when is the next time that he's going to be in court?
So that's a good question. The judge, I don't think, made an announcement yet. I think they're probably going to have probably in another 2 weeks, I would assume, because what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to start getting a schedule down. And the schedule is like all these motions that are going to be having had discovery, which is the evidence. And the discovery is going to be overwhelming. I mean, that discovery alone may take a year for the defense to go over. So this is, again, like I said, this is not going to be something that happens today or tomorrow. This is going to be something that is going to be happening over the next years.
Amazing. David Gelman, always appreciate it, my friend. Criminal defense attorney. Let him fight for you if you are ever arrested for international criminal narco drug trafficking or even just stuff like a DUI. David, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll see you on Fox News and Newsmax again very soon.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, as we continue, we got a lot going here. We got a ton of audio for you today. We'll get into Tim Walz, of course, and that whole fiasco of his political career being ruined. And the question of what all this means internationally. There's multiple layers to this. The United States of America is treating this as a criminal prosecution and not as a military incursion. And so there's the criminal component. And then, of course, there are the international and military and strategic dominoes that have to fall. And there's always unintended consequences to these things, as we know. And there's other countries in the region, and of course, not in the region, who are also going to be dealing with all this. So we'll talk about all that as the show goes on today. Like I said, we've got some great guests lined up for you as well. And I just, during the commercial break, ran outside. Patrick's home from school, taking Gary out for a walk, which is good because I was hanging out with him all day. Brought him into my home studio, and he was chewing up some of my wires, so he didn't get to spend much time in the home studio. But yeah, Gary's doing great. And check out social media pictures at Rich Zeoli Show. Posted a bunch for you if you'd like to check those out. That'd be great. Now, Tim Walz is done, but what does that mean for 2028? What will be the effects on the Democrat field, if any, in 2028 because of Tim Walz's resignation in disgrace? Or I should say he's not going to resign. He may end up resigning, but at least as of right now, he's not running again. But he's goes out in political failure, an absolute disgrace. What does this mean for all the other candidates who are out there looking to take up the mantle in 2028? We'll talk about that straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So you got to understand a couple things here about Maduro. And number one is, and we've talked about this on the show over several years, he's not the duly elected president of Venezuela. He's an actual dictator. I've used the analogy, and I don't care from the perspective of the United States of America. Like me personally, I'm not in the regime change game. I don't care. That to me, that's not a reason to go in there and get rid of the guy. It's you know, your nation, you figure it out. That said, the reasons they had to go get him though are not negated by the fact that he is the president of Venezuela, because he's really not the president of Venezuela. And the president of the United States has broad discretion to recognize world leaders. And Maduro is not recognized by really anybody because he's not. He's a true dictator. He cheated. He stayed in office even though he lost the election. He was sworn in to serve a third 6-year term. And the guy that actually won the election, then he had to go and into exile because Maduro and his thugs were going to kill the guy. And you see, when I tell you that dictators actually don't leave, that's what I mean. Maduro lost, but he's a true dictator, and he didn't leave. Now, they always comparing Donald Trump to being a dictator. They did this for years and years. And then after Joe Biden was inaugurated president, or the morning of the inauguration, I should say, Donald Trump and the First Lady walked out of the White House, got on board Marine One, and took off to Andrews Air Force Base for his final ride as the 45th president of the United States on Air Force One. Little did everybody know he'd be back, but at the time, that was that. And what I said on that morning, because I was in mornings back then, I said, dictators don't do that. They don't leave. If they want to stay, they stay. They don't care what the election results are. They just stay. Well, Maduro stayed. And that's what makes him a dictator. And that's the difference in this. And what you got to realize, too, is that it wasn't even close, too. When they looked at the results of the election, the guy who actually won the election, who really is the president of Venezuela, this Gonzalez guy, he had to leave the country. He had twice as many votes as Maduro. The U.S.-based Carter Center, which observed the election on the government's invitation, declared the opposition published tallies legitimate. Election experts that the government allowed to witness the votes said polling records posted online by the opposition appear to exhibit all the original security features. And after that, the European Union imposed sanctions on 15 top Venezuelan officials who had a role in the country's 2024 election, including the president and vice president of Venezuela's Supreme Court, the Electoral Agency, and others. The 27-nation bloc said those officials have put the nation's democracy at risk. The U.S. Treasury Department slapped a new round of sanctions on Venezuelan officials, including the president of Venezuela's state-owned, or the president of Venezuela's state-owned oil company, and a bunch of other people as well. There were hundreds of anti-Maduro protesters who took to the streets of the capital, Caracas. Aides to the opposition leader said she was briefly detained by security forces and coerced into recording videos. The popular former lawmaker, whom the government has barred from running for office, had emerged from months of hiding to join the rally to demand Gonzalez be sworn in instead of Maduro. Machado addressed the rally, then left on a motorcycle with her security convoy. Machado's press team later announced on social media that security forces violently intercepted her convoy. Her aides confirmed to the Associated Press that the opposition hardliner was detained. Leaders in the Americas and Europe condemned the government for suppressing opposition voices and demanded her release. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump expressed his support for Machado and Gonzalez. These freedom fighters should not be harmed. They must stay safe and alive, President Trump at the time, President-elect Trump at the time, said on Truth Social. Maduro supporters denied that Machado was arrested, saying government opponents were spreading fake news to generate an international crisis. The brouhaha, as NBC News pointed out at the time, the brouhaha ahead of Maduro's inauguration added to the litany of allegations of electoral fraud and brutal repression to silence dissent. Electoral authorities loyal to the ruling party declared Maduro the winner hours after the polls closed on July 28th, but unlike in previous presidential elections, they did not provide detailed vote counts. Global condemnation over the lack of transparency prompted Maduro to ask the country's high court, also filled with allies of his United Socialist Party of Venezuela, to audit the election results. This is why when people such as Zora Mamdani and AOC and Bernie Sanders and other people turn around and say, you know, he's the leader of Venezuela. He's not. He didn't win. He's a brutal dictator and a thug who lost the election and put the other guy in exile. Now, in my opinion, that's not a reason for the United States of America to get involved. Like, I don't care. I'm sorry to say it. That may sound cold and harsh, but it's just not my thing. There are other reasons for the United States of America to get involved, as the United States is justifying based on drug trafficking and, well, let's face it, we want the oil. Let's just be honest. Call what it is. We want the oil. But that said, people that are out there who are like, oh my God, how do you just take out the duly elected president of Venezuela and kidnap him in the middle of the night? Well, he's not. He lost the election. He refused to leave. The other guy is a duly elected president of Venezuela, and he's in exile because Maduro was going to have him killed. So that argument falls flat. He's just a former president who happens to be wanted by the United States of America on criminal charges. And just because you're not on U.S. soil doesn't mean the United States of America doesn't try to go after you and arrest you. I mean, I saw The Dark Knight. I know how Batman had to do it with that Lao guy. He had to go to Hong Kong and he had to scale a very high building to bring him back because China would never, you know, extradite one of its own citizens. There are multiple ways to get a bad guy on foreign soil. This is one of them. But he's not the duly elected, democratically elected leader of Venezuela. He's just not. He lost. He just stayed because that's what dictators do. They stay. They don't leave. That's what makes a dictator a dictator. Dictators stay and they don't leave, even if they lost the election, and they go after their opposition and they try to have them killed. That's the defining criteria of a dictator. So knowing that he's not the duly elected leader of Venezuela, he's just a former president, a thug who is occupying the presidential palace or whatever the hell they call it, the United States of America decided it was going to go and arrest him and go grab him. I mean, put it this way, if he had been in an airport in Caracas and the U.S. military went in there and arrested him and grabbed him, it would have been a whole lot less dramatic. And the question of whether or not the military being on foreign soil and executing an operation like that to grab somebody, and whether or not that requires congressional authorization or not, we'll talk to Professor John Yu about that later. But a couple points on that. We've done it before, number one. Democrats and Republicans have done this. They've gone after and grabbed bad guys who are wanted by the United States of America. They've even killed them on foreign soil. And they've done these things. It's what they do. They don't always go to Congress to ask. And should Trump have asked them? I mean, the problem is that this wasn't. I think you get into a situation if this plays out long and we become an occupying force in Venezuela. And I don't think there's a big appetite for that. And I think that if that happens, then, yeah, you have to go to Congress and you have to ask them for that. You just have to do it. And I think that we have got to be very careful about doing this with other countries just on the basis of those countries exporting narcotics. Because if they are duly elected leaders, unlike Maduro, I know the president has broad power to say that they're not, but we're also opening up this kind of funky can of worms here, for lack of a better term, in terms of executing foreign policy. If this is going to be the doctrine of the Western Hemisphere, where the president's going to go in there and say any leader of a country that is engaging in the drug trade is fair game and a target, I'd like to see him ask Congress for authorization. And I've been saying that, by the way, just to be clear and consistent. I've been saying that when it comes to the boat strikes, the president should go to Congress and ask for authorization on the boat strikes. But I don't think. Yeah, and that's a good point, Matt, that he would have lost to Juan Guaido, whatever his name is, in 2020, and he lost to Gonzalez in 2024, and he barred Maria Corina Machado, the opposition leader, from running in 2024. So he's not the president of Mexico. Like, Claudia Sheinbaum has been, well, she's elected. She's the elected president of Mexico. I think if Trump goes in there and grabs her in the middle of the night, I think it's a much more complicated situation. And I think that if we're going to do that with Mexico, I would definitely think we should ask Congress before we were to do that. I don't think he's going to, but I'm just saying, I think it's a different scenario in that sense. I think that when you're dealing with, there's no question she won the election. She's there in Mexico. The cartels run the country, but she's still the president of Mexico. So if we want to use military force in Mexico, because the argument is, look, this is really where the drug cartels are. Venezuela, I mean, in the end, were they selling drugs? Yeah. Is it as much as Mexico? No. Is this a lot to do with the vast oil resources they have and greater issues at play? Yes. Was he the duly elected president of Venezuela? No. So it's an apples and oranges comparison here. And I would think that if we were to really think of doing military force against Mexico, for example, then it would be very wise of the president to ask for congressional authorization to do so, or do so with the cooperation of the president of Mexico if they really want to go after the cartels. Now, he said he's offered and she has not taken him up on it. But that point, though, about Maduro should not be glossed over. And there are people who are saying that. They're saying, well, you can't just go in and topple a duly elected president of another country. But he's not. I mean, he's a dictator and a thug. And so then you get it just into the debate of whether or not the military should be involved in law enforcement operations on foreign soil. And for that, I mean, you're going to find decades and probably hundreds of years of precedent backing that up. And that's just the reality of the situation versus a war. It's not a war. It's a military operation that was used to get somebody that the United States wanted to prosecute on U.S. territory, who also is not a duly elected leader of his country. He's a thug occupying the presidential palace. So all that said, it's a much different scenario than Mexico. It's a much different scenario than a lot of other things. I don't know where we go from here, but we'll find out when we talk to Dr. Victoria Coates in the 4 o'clock hour. And weigh in your thoughts. Let me know. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. You can weigh in on our YouTube chat as well. Join the conversation. Join the fun. And you can also tweet at Rich Zeoli. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.